This is MSU Today. I'm Russ White, and it's a pleasure to welcome back to the MSU Today microphones Detroit Tigers radio play-by-play man extraordinaire, Dan Dickerson. Dan, good to see you.
Great to see you, Russ. Thanks for having me back.
So if people wonder what you do, a guy who's pretty darn busy from mid-February to hopefully deep into October, one of the things you do in the off-season is you teach at Michigan State University. Can you talk about what you're doing at MSU?
Sure. I love it. I love coming. Every time I drive onto campus, it just energizes you. As you know, my wife, Lori Ann, teaches and has been here for a long time. So I've been coming up for years teaching, you know, helping to teach her class once in a while. Now, for the last 3 years, I've actually taught I call it Play-by-Play 101 class. It's got an official name, but that's what I call it. And it's been a lot of fun. I can only do a short six-week course before I head down to spring training, but it's been very fun for me to, you know, I know how I do what I do, but to try to teach what you do, and then you start peeling away all the layers and you realize, okay, if I'm going to teach this, I have to I've got to teach this first. And so it's fun. It's been very fun. And every year I try to add a little twist to it, or at least try to explain it as well as I can, and then give them the opportunity. I think the biggest thing is, and thanks to some students who have kind of blazed the trail, we're creating opportunities for kids to either go practice their play-by-play at venues. The sports information department has worked just extremely well with us, and we couldn't thank them more, Matt Larson and everybody there. But they can go practice now at women's games, a few men's games, some hockey games, baseball and softball in the spring if the fields aren't flooded. So, and that's been fun. But also student radio, thanks to some students who have graduated now, they paved the way for now student radio is doing, Impact Radio is doing games live. That's a first. And so these are the kinds of things that have happened in the last couple of years, and the opportunity to practice is big. I think you have to be at the venue. Matt McCullough at Big Ten U has helped us out with putting games on tape with just sound effects only. That's a great way to practice. So anyway, it's been a lot of fun. I love being up here. I love these kids.
Well, Dan, how has what you do changed over the years? Where is it going, and what are you preparing these students for?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I mean, I teach the radio style of play-by-play. The opportunities, obviously, there's more on television, but I feel that if you get the radio style down, which forces you to use your eyes to look at everything at the ballpark, at the field, at the venue, to describe as well as you can always cut back because you will cut back if you do TV. But I think if you get those basics down and get your mouth moving, but also your powers of observation, because in TV you're asked to describe obviously less, but I think it prepares you for that. I think there's always going to be, I mean, people are always going to be driving cars, I think. In this country they will be. They're going to be out and about in the summertime. I think radio is still very much a powerful medium, and they are listening. It's different ways now. It's on your phone. It's on your laptop. It's on a satellite radio, but people are still listening in large numbers. So how it's changed for me? Not a lot. Because the basic task is always the same, and this is what I emphasize to my students, your guiding principle as you listen back to yourself, how am I doing, is does the listener have a clear understanding of what just happened? That's something that Ernie Harwell said to me very early in my career that put me at ease because I had never done baseball play-by-play, and I thought, how am I going to do this? He said, just remember, does the listener have a clear understanding of what just happened? And then everything flows from that. Everything else is kind of style. But if that's your guiding principle and you really work hard at that and you can get more and more descriptive, then that's always going to be the starting point. And then it gets into the preparation and the stats, but you have to make sure you use the stats in the right way. So we try to cover all that. It's a lot.
Well, Dan Dickerson, as the 2019 season dawns, we hear constantly about pace of play and pitch clocks and just your assessment on the state and future of the game.
You know, it's interesting. Pat Caputo and I debated this. We do the off-season Tiger Talk show together. And he pointed out that is the average, I mean, if you really look at basically the last 40 years, I think we went back, how long the games were 40 years ago, how long they are now, it's really only a difference of about 25 to 30 minutes. And if you take out the added 1 minute for commercials 18 times, that's 18 half innings, really, the games are maybe 15 minutes, which surprised me. I would have said almost an hour longer. But his point was Not really. So length of games to me is not the issue. Pace of play is important, and also how often the ball is put in play, I do think matter. But I think you've got to be very careful when you talk about some of the things that they're talking about. Moving the mound back? No. No, absolutely not. Lowering the mound? Be careful what you wish for when you start tinkering with the mound, where the mound is, shrinking the strike zone. What are we trying to address here? We're trying to address one thing, strikeouts. And yet, if you look at the last 3 years, run scoring is up. How many people would have guessed that? Nobody. But they're trying to address, well, more strikeouts because guys are throwing harder. But you know what? These guys have proven they can hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. It's just that the style of hitting now is they're trying to drive it to the gaps, and that's going to result in more strikeouts. I don't know what the solution is. I do think more balls need to be put in play. And yet I still think at the end of the game when you got a power hitter against a power arm, it's still exciting.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's a very exciting when you get that power arm trying to close it out and you got a power bat at the plate and the crowd's going crazy. That's okay. That's a strikeout instead of a ground ball to short.
Yep.
So anyway, I just think baseball is talking about a lot of things. They got to be careful what you wish for because sometimes the unintended consequences really do end up making the game worse.
Dan, what about our 2019 Tigers? Obviously a long season just getting underway, but what are you looking for? What should we maybe watch for?
Maybe it's just because I went to Tiger Fest, but I came away with some optimism, and I'll tell you why. When you're hoping for good health from key players, that can be risky. I understand that. But what is the upside? Because everybody knows this team has lost 98 games the last 2 years. What are the possibilities with this team? I mean, here's what I see. A healthy Miguel Cabrera and Michael Fulmer, not out of the realm of possibility. Michael Fulmer still threw 97 last year. I don't think he ever found his slider. He's still an ace-level pitcher. Miguel Cabrera has struggled with health. There's no question about it. But if he's in that lineup, it just changes the whole look of the line. They scored 630 runs last year. Him being healthy with Nick Castellanos, you didn't trade him away. This offense could improve immediately by 100 runs. And that's getting back to league average. But I get excited about thinking about what if Daniel Norris can stay healthy. That's not, to me, a huge if, even though I know he's been hurt the last couple of years, because it's not arm-related. It's been the groin injury. I think he's finally figured that out. That is still a number two or three starter with a lot of upside. Rick Anderson gets very kind of quietly excited about Daniel Norris. So we've got Norris, Boyd, and Fulmer, the three we've heard about for a long time. That's the beginnings of a pretty good rotation. Jordan Zimmermann, I still think, is solid at the back end. So, again, your rotation, the bullpen, because of Drew Verhagen, Alcantara, and the way that Stump finished last year, Joey Menez is a closer in waiting. Green is not as bad as we saw last year. The stuff was good. I'm not quite sure what was going on with all those home runs. Has the makings of being a decent bullpen. And then on the hitting side of the equation, Kristen Stewart excites me. That's a power bat. You're going to see some long home runs off that bat. He's a rookie. You'll see some struggles. But that's 25-30 home run power. Candelario at third base showed he has a good glove. He can be better. But he also showed that he can be a pretty good hitter. He struggled down the stretch, but there's upside there. So I don't know. These are the kind of things that get me excited. Jacoby Jones, how many people know this guy saved more runs defensively than any major league outfielder last year? Some know that, but that doesn't get publicized a whole lot. Jacoby Jones isn't a potential fourth. He's a gold glove caliber center fielder. And in that ballpark, that's the most valuable defensive position. So all these things kind of get me excited for the year, which is to say there is an upside there that I'm not sure everybody sees or is talking about because you hear, well, they're going to be bad again this year. Okay, I get that. But what's the upside? A few things go right. It could be an interesting season. I really believe that.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us again.
Always good to talk to you, Russ. Thanks.
Detroit Tigers radio play-by-play man extraordinaire Dan Dickerson here on MSU Today.